Okay. Well, if you had your little program, your little purple program, you know we're going to talk about, I think they were on there, three things this morning, or this afternoon, we're in this afternoon already. We're going to talk about the goodness of God, and then we're going to talk about the first fruit of the Spirit, and then we're going to talk about initiative and leadership. And we want to start off this afternoon with the character of God. We'd like to try that for a while on these Saturday times and start out with one of the aspects of God's character and then one of the characters that God wants us to grow in and then something practical as far as practical outworking in our own Christian life. So let's ask God this morning or this afternoon. I keep getting mixed up here for our time, and I think God has some really encouraging things this afternoon for us from the Word. I've really, really been looking forward to this teaching this afternoon on God's goodness. So let's just ask the Lord for our time. Lord, thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that we could get together. We thank You, Lord, for one another, for putting us in the same family. We thank You, God, that You've given us a life worth living for. We thank You that You put joy in our heart. We thank You, Lord, that You put gladness in our lives. We thank You, Lord, that You don't withhold any good thing from Your children. God, I pray that You would speak to each one here today, build them up in their faith, encourage them, comfort them. And God, we pray that You would give us hearts today to respond to the Word of God. Hearts that are hungry for the Word of God. Hearts, Lord, that are hungry for You. Lord, it's great that we can laugh, and it's great, Lord, that we can have a good time. Lord, I pray, though, that now we would not miss You. I pray, Lord, we wouldn't miss what You have to say. Pray that we would give undistracted, undivided attention to You, Jesus, and to Your Word. Thank You for the time we've had so far. It's great, Lord, to be together and praise You and worship Your name. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. How many of you have ever heard a teaching at all on the goodness of God before? Anyone? Okay. Well, good. That's. I think this is probably, as I was thinking about this in the last couple weeks, one of the most encouraging attributes of God, and yet one that's the most difficult to keep believing, is that God is good. I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 3 this morning, or this afternoon. I just can't shake this morning stuff. Genesis chapter 3. I think sometimes, even when we talk about God being good, it's always adulterated. It's always mixed with some other concept of God. God's good, but, you know, I mean, bad things still happen. Or, you know, God's good, but, well, I don't know. But I think personally, and I hope to show you this morning, that I believe this is probably the biggest area that God, it could be the biggest source of encouragement and hope and strength and the ability to persevere in your life over anything else that we can know about God, is the fact that God is good. And I just want to take you down memory lane here in Genesis chapter 3 and show you what the devil did with Eve. And then I want to talk a little bit about what the devil so often does with us, with you and I. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good from evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. All right. What happened in this situation? It's what so often, I believe, happens to you and I. I think this happens over and over and over and again. Eve's minding her own business one day in the garden, and up comes the serpent. And evidently, this women didn't have the same paranoia about snakes, if this was a snake, that we do today. Maybe that happened after the fall, I don't know. Maybe the serpent was a lot more beautiful than we would want to think. But the serpent comes up to Eve and he says, "Hey, God really tell you you couldn't eat of that tree?" "Yep, He sure did." And she was right. "That's right. He sure did. He said we couldn't eat of it. And because in that day you know that you eat it, you'll die." And the serpent said, "Well, you know, you won't die. I know something about God you don't know. God isn't so good as you think. God knows that if you eat it, you'll be like Him. He's afraid of that. And God really wants to keep that from you. So go ahead, eat it." So I'm reading between the lines. You've got to understand, that's what he was communicating. And so often in our lives, this is what happens to us. It can be with waiting to get married, which is always the big one, it seems like, in everybody's life. "Well, I don't know." You know, the biggest struggle, and I talk to young person after young person, old person after old person, middle age, it's always, "Well, you know, what if God forgets about me? You know, or what if God doesn't care about the desires of my heart?" Or really the bottom line, if I can just shave it all away, is, "Well, I just don't really believe that God is really good, that He really does care about me. And I'm afraid I'm going to have to take this in my own hands." And I've seen in this area, as well as numerous other areas, young person after young person, person after person, give up the race of the Christian life, give up following God for a lie, because they believed a lie. And the primary lie that they believed was in relationship to the character of God's goodness. That somehow or another, God wasn't good. Maybe it was like Nancy Cooper shared with us this morning, as she was sharing how God worked out her miscarriage for good. Yet I know couple after couple, when something like that happens, you look at what happened and you go, "You see, the devil's right there. You see, this proves it. God isn't as good as we once thought." Or we look over here at this test we just took and we flunked the class. "God, where were you, God? You know, I prayed about this, God. God let me down." Or it could be with a job. "You know, God, I mean, you're providing for everybody else. How come you're not providing one for me?" And it's a slam against the character of God. And this is the devil's biggest ploy in our lives. In your life, this is the number one thing that he will attack about you. He'll be on it and on it and on it and on it, to somehow get you to doubt that God is really as good as maybe you once thought. I mean, the devil would like you not to think he's good at all. Let's talk about what God is really like this morning, this afternoon. I just can't remember that. This afternoon. Okay? I want to look at a few verses that say what God is like. Because we need to know what God is like. And I've not seen God. You've never seen God. We judge God based on what His Word says and what He said He did. And what He did with His Son and what He did with the world around us. But everything that this world revolves around is to take away from God and what God is really like. God made the world, man says it happened. Jesus came and died for man, man say it was all a hoax. And it's always knocking what God has done. I'd like you to look at Psalm 119 in verse 68. Verse 68. And this is what David says. Let's just look at verse 67. David says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. I want you to see that David, what he says in verse 68, he says, "You are good and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees." Isn't it interesting that David, just before he says that, says, "It was good for me that I was afflicted. Or before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I obey your word." David wasn't bummed out because he had affliction. David wasn't discouraged because things were hard with him. He says no. He says in response, "Lord, you're good and what you do is good. Everything about God is good. Everything God does is good. God cannot be tempted by evil and God never tempts any man with evil. There is not an ounce of evil in the chemistry and makeup of God. God is good and everything He does is good." Let's look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34. In verse 8. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." Again, taste and see that the Lord is good. God is good. Have you tasted that lately? God is good. And everything God does is good. And those who seek the Lord will never lack any good thing. Those who seek the Lord will not lack in a mate. They will not lack in a job. Those who seek the Lord. You keep seeking the Lord. That does not mean that God is not going to build your character through the things you go through. You see, God gives us in our life what is circumstantially sometimes good and what is always eternally good. All you see, sometimes, brother and sister, our minds are very, very finite and we only see the here and now. We only see the here and now. We see, "Oh God, I've got to have this right now." Just like when we were little kids. You remember? "Daddy, I've got to have it right now." And Daddy said, "No." And you'd say, "How come?" And he'd say, "Because." "How come? Because." "How come? Because I said so." And now we get older and we kind of look back and realize that our daddies and moms knew what they were doing. We see God, in a very real sense, as our Father, and we have a very finite mind, a very finite understanding. God is asking you to believe that He is good. He's proven you that He's good. But there are going to be times that it looks just the opposite. There are going to be times in your life that it looks just the opposite. I want you to look at Psalm. Psalm 118. Psalm 118 and verse 1. You know, inevitably, when you read through the Old Testament, as we were talking about this morning a little bit in the Jews, their major source of trouble all through the history of Israel was their bad memory. Their bad memory. What's your memory like? When you think, when you have times of meditation, when you have times of solitude, when you have times through your day, I want to ask you, what do you think about? What do you remember? You may be just like the Jews. "Boy, God, I'm depressed. Things aren't working out here, and things aren't working out there, and this isn't coming through, and this isn't happening, and that isn't happening." And inevitably, this always turned the Jews away from God. They forgot the good deeds of the Lord. David says here, this is one thing though that I could say about the man David. He never forgot. He says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." In verse 29, he says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." In Psalm 100, in verse 5, we sang it today. It says, "For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute. The Lord is good. What would it do in your life if that was the only way you thought of God? I mean, if you thought about God, whenever you thought about God, God is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His love endures forever. You know, there's a story about David. And one time, David he went out with his mighty men. He was living among the Philistines, and he went on a raid. He came back from the raid, and the women and children, all their women and children, and their camp was gone. Their camp was burning, and the women and children were gone. And David has been living in sin. He knows it. He's been living with the Philistines. He's been lying. He's been cheating. Been through a stressful time in his life. And David gets back, and not only now is his wife and children gone, everything that he deems precious to him was gone. If you could say anything that a man would want to live for, it was gone. And oftentimes, what's interesting is enemies weren't always as nice as, well, they just weren't nice. Usually they killed the women and the children. So did the Jews. The Jews usually did the same. God commanded them to. Or they made them into slaves. Now, I put myself in that situation. I thought about that. What would I do if I came home and my wife's gone, my kids are gone, the place is torn apart, the bedroom's burning, there's a smoldering fire when I get back, the whole house is just rubble. Wow. And I thought to myself, what would I do? And then my friends that I'd promised that God would protect us, take care of us, had all left their kids at my house that night. And all their kids and their wives were gone. And now David's friends wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. And it says of David, all it says is this, David went and encouraged himself in God. That's all it says. And he asked God, God, shall I go after him? And God said, yes, David, go after him. He said, God, will we get him? God said, yeah, you'll get him. So David went out to his men. He said, men, let's go get him. They went and God spared every one of their lives. But I thought for a moment, I thought, you know, only a man who had trained his thinking to believe that God was good would have ever done what David did. You don't get into a pressure cooker like David did and have been cursing God most of your life and then all of a sudden go, oh God, you're good. What should I do now? I mean, that may happen occasionally and David may have repented. But I think it happened because David knew that God was good. David knew God was good and David knew he could go to God and God would help him. And that's where he went. Where do you go? In your times of stress, in your times of trouble, do you go to your roommate? Do you go to a friend? You know, there's nothing wrong with talking to a friend. But God wants you to learn to go to Him. And God wants you to learn to go and encourage yourself in God. This is one of the major lessons I've had to learn in my Christian life. One of the major things as I look back over my 11 years with the Lord that God has always been working on. To teach me that God is good and to teach me to go to Him and talk to Him about whatever's on my mind and remember that He is good. I want you to look at Psalm 107 and verse 9. It says in verse 8, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men, for He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Again, let's talk about the Israelites a minute. Remember, they're out in the desert. And I got to admit, sometimes Christians, I think we're the same way. We were out in the desert of life, living in sin. And you know, we look back sometimes, I believe, at times with fond memory of our sin. I really believe that. I think we look back and think, yeah, well, partying was kind of fun. Yeah, doing this, it was kind of fun. I mean, you know, I'm having a good time now, but yeah, there were some good times. And the Jews were out in the wilderness. And next thing you know, they want to go back to Egypt. And then God gives them manna out of heaven. God gives them heavenly food. The food of angels, the Bible calls it. And no one had ever seen manna before, and they ate it. And then they got sick of that, and God gave them quail. Then they got sick of that. And then God finally destroyed a whole bunch of them. Until Phinehas put a check on the plague that God was destroying all the Israelites with. It is so easy to think about how bad things are all the time. It's so easy to have a grumbling, grumpy, everything's bad kind of attitude. So easy to do that. The Jews did it, and it's just as easy for us to do. God only gives good things. Period. God only gives good things. I look back in my life, and I know, you know, my life's not been a bed of roses, neither is yours. No one usually has. But I know that God always has done me good. All the time, all the time. But let me tell you why this is important. You know, we just had a situation as a church, and we talked quite extensively about slander. Do you know the number one thing that separates you from God? Slander. Slander. It's the lies that you allow to go on in your mind about God that you do not get rid of them. And before you know it, you're doubting and questioning God just like you would God's leadership. That is the devil's biggest ploy. It comes in the form of a little grumble. It comes in the form of a little, oh, this is kind of a raunchy building. Oh, God, I don't know. You know, you could do better than this. I don't like this circumstance, God. I don't like this. This doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem good. You know, God, I've been walking with you now for 10 years, and this person just got saved. They're already getting married. And if you're not careful, and if you're not very, very careful, before you know it, it will twist and pervert and pollute your heart. And I see this happen. And I see the devil. I'm in that same war you are. We're all in the same war. And I want to share with you today what some things that I believe will help you win this battle. But one is, you must have a settled conviction in your mind that God is good. God is good. Let's look at Psalm 103 in verse 5. Remember in Psalm 107 verse 9, He fills the hungry with good things. Let's look at Psalm 103 in verse 5. Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. I thought this was a real encouraging verse. I like Psalm 103 because I like the fact that David always took the time to reflect on the benefits of being a Christian. Some of us, I think it'd be good for us to have little daily rituals. I believe in rituals. And one of those rituals would be every day. If it was this chapter or another chapter like it, I would go over it every day. Every day. I would count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Steve, you know that song, don't you? Steve, remember that song? That a boy, Steve. Oh, that's a good song. Count your blessings. David used to do this all the time. David would do this all the time. He would count his blessings. We count our problems. What we tend to count is all the things that don't seem to be going right. And we meditate on them and they fester there. God wants us to be aware of all that He's doing and all the good. He satisfies your desires with good things. Period. If you've ever had a desire satisfied, it's because God satisfied it. And He's only got good coming. He's only got good coming. In Jeremiah 32 and verse 40, this is one of my favorite verses. I shared this with some of you before. But this is a promise that my wife and I have claimed for our life. In Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 40, verse 40 and 41, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them, and I will inspire them to fear me so they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good, and will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and all my soul. Look at that. Here's God. You know what covenant God made with you? You know what everlasting covenant God made with you? I will never stop doing you good. Never. God will never stop doing you good. Do you know why it can be easy to be single and wait for God to get you married? Because of this verse right here. Right here. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Good is coming. I was talking with someone the other day. I don't remember who. We were discussing this. And I was sharing with them, you know, listen. The most important thing is this. God said he who hopes in the Lord will never be disappointed. No disappointment. Never. God said that he will never stop doing you good. Never. Now make sure that you put your hope in him and not on something that you want him to do. Make sure you put your hope in him, not on that person that you're so crazy about that you just got to have him or you'll die. See? You got to get, you see, then you're off perspective. Then you're off perspective and then you get let down and you blame it on God. It wasn't God's fault at all. God will never withhold good from you if your trust is in him. God's made a covenant, a blood agreement, that he will rejoice. You know what that word means in our vernacular? That he gets his kicks out of doing you good. God gets excited to do you good. He gets excited. It thrills his heart to do good things to your life. Now listen, good things come in a lot of packages. Sometimes good things come in a bad package. Sometimes they come in a package that you may think initially, I didn't want that. And then you look back later and go, that was exactly what I wanted. I look back in my life and I see things that happen. I don't always know why they happen the way they did, but I can tell you this. I'm so thankful that they happen. You know why? Here's why. Remember, you and I only see the here and now. God sees the whole scope of things. God sees the whole perspective. See, he's trying to make you like himself, right? And God may know that keeping you single another year is going to make you more like himself and give your life more joy than if you got married right now. You've got to learn to see things from his vantage point. As you learn to see things from his vantage point, your life will take on new meaning, new encouragement. You'll have the ability to persevere through things that right now just knock the wind right out of you. And it comes from this conviction. God will do me good. God will do you good. Let's look at this verse in Psalm 13, verse 5. Psalm 13 and verse 5. I like this verse because this is using my reason to sing. If sometimes you have a difficult time singing, this will help what you think about. And David says in verse 5, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Victory over depression. The secret to perseverance, encouragement, strength, and joy. I want you to turn to Psalm 116. Psalm 116 and verse 7. You know, sometimes we all get tired. But I find usually I get the most tired from strain, pressure. And oftentimes I find that sleep just doesn't alleviate it. It just doesn't get rid of it. In fact, there's been times I've gone to bed under a lot of pressure, feeling a lot of pressure. I've gone to bed really, I felt like, you know, just kind of washed out. And I thought it would go away in the morning. And I woke up. And for about a few minutes, everything seemed bright and cheery until it all hit me again. It was still there. This verse says, be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. You know, God has been really good to each one of you in this room. God has been really, really good to you. We all have shirts on our backs. We all look well fed. We all have a roof over our heads. We live in a country we can just get together and meet like this and do whatever we please. We have a car to drive. If we don't have a job, we live in a country that'll give you money. We have saints that care for us. We have a God that forgave all of our sin. All of it. None of it's an issue with Him at all. We have heaven to look forward to. We have God inside of us. All the power of the universe right inside of us. We got a lot to sing about. We got a lot to be thankful about. We got a God who's behind the scenes pulling all the strings of your life. A God who's up there designing and creating and working and calling into being things that don't even exist, all for your benefit. You've got a God who has a one-track mind, and His one-track mind is you. You feel the mind of God 24 hours of every day. You're on His mind. This was some of the biggest comfort in my life when I was waiting to get married. Because, you know, I knew this. I thought, man, you know, Lord, I'll tell you, I'm so excited about this. My life used to be consumed with jealousy. Jealousy. I had this girlfriend in high school. And if she wasn't with me every night, just burned me up. You know, at least 4 or 5 nights a week. And I remember this one night she told me she couldn't get together. I said, fine, I thought I'd act real cool because she wanted to had to study. So I went downtown. Next thing I knew, she was downtown with her girlfriend. Oh, man, did I make a scene. I was burned up. Oh, I was mad. She lied to me. But you know, after I became a Christian, I began to realize, you know, I don't have to sweat that anymore. I don't have to sweat any of that. If God's who He says He is, then all I have to do is follow Him, and bam, God will make sure I don't miss it. God will make sure I don't miss it. And God will do the same for you, brother and sister. But it all depends if you believe what I'm telling you here today. It really does. Do you believe God's good? Do you believe God is good? The secret of a life filled with encouragement, hope, strength, is a constant belief and expectation of the goodness of God. Turn to Psalm 27. Well, that you can turn, write this down. Psalm 27, 13 and 14. And then write down NAS beside it. New American Standard. I remember after I was engaged and we were waiting to get married, and I kind of think, you know, well, it'll be next month, it'll be next month, it'll be next month. And then, probably like some of you, you get to the point you go, well, maybe I won't ever get married. You decide finally to face that one, you know. Let that one creep in there. This verse says, I would have despaired unless I believed I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Do you ever feel that way? You ever feel despairing? You ever feel just kind of like, I'm just going to throw the towel in. I just can't take this anymore. I'm just at the end of my rope. I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know if anything's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. You feel a lack of spiritual and physical vitality and energy. You find it very difficult to be encouraged. You find it very difficult to have strength, to have joy, to have hope. You don't persevere well when things get tough. There's only one reason. You do not believe that good is coming. And you are not living your life in the expectation of the goodness of God. And this is what David says. He says, I would have despaired unless I believe this. See? There are certain things that are paramount to believe, and this is one of them. If you don't believe it, you will despair. You will give up. You will give in to discouragement. But if you do believe it, you know what it'll give you the ability to do? It gives you empowerment to wait for God, to be strong, and let your heart be filled with encouragement. Because you know God is going to be good. God is going to begin. You stop and think for a minute. When was the last time God let you down? You stop and think for a minute. How many things that you take for granted that God has done for for you and given to you. God just given to you. You know, they say that nothing in this world is free, but you know that's a lie. That's a lie. Everything in this world is free, and it came from God. Everything. You don't earn nothing from God. And it's a mentality that the devil has hit on us. There's nothing free in this life. Hogwash. You got a heart free. You got arms free. You got legs free. You got eyes free. You got a mind free. You got the whole world free. And you got God free. And you got heaven free. And you get all God's blessings free. It was all free. All of it. Free, free, free. And we just take it for granted. You know, the sun's going to rise tomorrow. But God makes it rise every day. And He makes it set. And He makes it rise and He makes it set. Just for you. Just for you. When you get to September 20th in your daylights, that's tomorrow. I'd like you to read that really carefully. It's by Steve Hogan. And he talks about how God made the world for us. How God packaged it in this beautiful package. I mean, you know, you think about it. God didn't have to put green. He didn't have to make colors. We didn't come up with colors. God came up with colors. We didn't come up with brown eyes, blue eyes, green eyes, blonde hair, brunette hair, black hair, red hair. God came up with it. All for your enjoyment. Everything you enjoy, God made or gave man the capacity to make. Everything. God is consumed with your good. Then turn with me to Psalm 107 in verse 43. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. Whoever is wise, are you wise today? I want to ask you now, are you going to be a wise person? What will a wise person do? The psalmist says, whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. I would encourage you, brother and sister, if you really want to see your life change and have God's goodness affect your life, to change what you think about. To change what you think about. You know, oftentimes people have said to me, you know, everything just seems like a mind game. Well, you know what? That's what the Christian life is. The Christian life is it's not a game. It's a war. And it's all right here. In this little space right here. And what you do with your mind determines what you will be as a person. What you do with your mind and your faith and your heart is what you will either enjoy about God or curse about God. Let him who is wise consider the goodness of God, the great love of the Lord. God has been good to you. Take heart. Be encouraged. Let strength fill your life. You know, you ever look at some people? I've done this. As a young Christian, I compare people. I do. I'll be honest about it. And I ask myself, why is he that way and why is he this way? Why is she that way and why are they this way? Was it environment? Was it the way they were raised? Was it the way they were brought up? Was it their circumstances? Nope. Inevitably, as I've compared Christians, it's come down to one thing. One of them was believing this book and the other one was not. One of them always had in mind the goodness of the Lord. I'll tell you a good example of that. A good movie you ought to see sometime is The Hiding Place. Even better yet, read the book together. If you're going through rough times, sit down with your family and read The Hiding Place. My wife and I did that. You think you got something to complain about? You think you got things are rough? I'm just struck by Corrie Ten Boom's sister, Betsy. She gets beat up. She's frail. She makes tea out of rose petals. Always a cheerful woman. Always cheery. Always thankful for the goodness of God in her life. This area can change your life. It really, really can. Determine with me today as we close that in the next month, you want to double and triple the appreciation that you have of God's goodness in your life. And brother and sister, take the time each day. Take the time to stop your day and pause and reflect diligently, willfully, and deliberately on the goodness of God, on the good things that God has done in your life. And I guarantee you, you'll be a different person in 30 days. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, God, that your word is good and perfect and acceptable. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. God, where would I be today if it had not been for the goodness and the mercy of God? My life would be a mess. My family, Lord, would be a mess. And I'd be nowhere today except closer to hell. And I thank you, God, so much for your goodness to Kathy and I. For your goodness through all the difficult times. I thank you for the difficulties, Lord, that made you dearer and nearer to us than life itself. Thank you for the goodness in each life here today, Lord. We pray now that you would guide our time the rest of this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.